Let's have a brief prayer. Lord God, as we look into your word tonight, we pray that you would turn our thoughts heavenward and open our hearts to the truth to be found in your word. May the words spoken here tonight be your words, Lord. May the spirit felt here today be your spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to John, the 6th chapter. John, the 6th chapter, and I'll begin with the 25th verse. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then they say unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me, and believe not. May the good Lord bless the reading of his word. Well, so goes another day in the life of Christ. Have you ever been around someone who treated you as if you were only as good as your last act? No matter what you had done for them in the past, it's only what you've done for them lately that mattered. Now, these people had come to Christ for a variety of reasons. And he had just had a very remarkable last 24 hours. There had been one major public miracle and one private miracle that he had done. Jesus had just fed 5,000 people. 5,000 men, as a matter of fact. And if you put the women and the children together, that might have been 15,000 or even more. He had fed them. And now they came looking for him again. That was a public miracle. But most things in the Bible you don't find happening just out of the blue. Elijah, we find in the Old Testament, had once fed 100 men with 20 loaves and some grain. But it wasn't Elijah that actually fed them, because he said, Thus saith the Lord, they shall eat and have leftovers, as a matter of fact. And it's always a sign of a good miracle that there is leftovers. And the same thing happened with the feeding of the 5,000. The apostles had just had a remarkable time of their own right before this happened. They'd done some mighty works. And they come back and they're on a spiritual high. And they go out with Jesus, and what do? They fall flat on their face because of unbelief. They did not know that he could pull this off. So not only did Christ feed all the people that came, but he gave 12 baskets of leftovers. 12 baskets of it ain't going to happen. One for each of the disciples for them to carry away. And if you read all of the gospel accounts of the feeding of the 5,000, I get this mental image of Christ going off in the hillside and watching those apostles as they start rowing across the sea and running into the wind and the storm and watching them struggle against the waves. And he watches them. And he watched them struggle, because that's what they were doing. They were struggling. They wanted to believe him. They saw what he was doing, but they were still struggling. And then come the private miracle. Jesus walks out on the water to them and passes them by, and they were afraid when they saw him. But this was for them. It wasn't for the public. The public had been fed. But it wasn't Jesus they were looking for. They were hungry again. And they come looking not for Jesus, but they were looking for another handout and another free meal. And if they had gotten what they had wanted any other way, they probably would have followed that. It wasn't God that they hungered after. It was the free meal that they wanted. And Jesus knew that. in verse 26, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves." Jesus was very good at going right to the heart of the matter. When Nicodemus came to him, he called Nicodemus out. When the woman at the well came to him, he called the woman out. And when these people come looking for Jesus, he didn't ask what they were looking for. He knew what they were looking for. They were looking for another handout. And they did not understand what he stood for. They did not understand who he was. And he tries to tell them. He tells them in verse 27, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you." And they say back to him, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" They did not have a clue what he was talking about. And I wonder how many people in the church today don't have a clue of what it means to be a Christian. They sit here and they go through every week. They sing the songs. They sleep while the preacher talks. And then they go home, thinking that they've put their time in. But they really don't get it. And Jesus said, "This is the sign that you believe on him whom he sent." And then they turn around and said, "Well, what sign are you going to show us? What sign are you going to show us? Give us a break." He just fed all of them the day before with two fish and five loaves. And he had to do that because this crowd had followed him up to the hillside because of the miracles of healing he'd been doing. He'd been showing them sign after sign after sign. And yet they ask him, "What sign will you show us?" But they had a reason for asking it, because the very next thing they say is, "Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. Moses fed us. Moses fed us for 40 years. He didn't feed 5,000. He fed maybe 10,000, maybe 100,000, maybe more." And that's what they're wanting out of Christ. They're wanting the same deal. And Jesus says to them straight, "No, it wasn't Moses that fed them. It was God that fed them." But people would rather believe in the physical than the spiritual. They would rather believe that the bread came from the hand of Moses rather than looking to where did that bread come from that went into the hand of Moses to give to them. That's all they were interested in. And we do the same thing today when we look for the physical. We get concerned about the physical state of our health. And I don't mean to belittle this. I've had enough tragedy in my own family to understand that it hurts when something goes wrong in your family. But in John 6:63, Jesus said that the flesh counts for nothing. It's the spirit that gives life. The flesh starts as dust and it goes back to dust. And every year that I live, I can tell that I've lost something from the year before. It's not the same. It goes away. So you can't tell me that a loving God puts the emphasis of his concern for you on the physical, because it's not. It's on your spiritual well-being. Because I don't care how bad your physical infirmity is, if your mind is firm, you can have faith in God and you can be saved. And this is temporary. I've never had to deal with some of the problems that others have been in this life. And I thank God for that, because I don't know how I could handle it. It's very easy to say that everything is good when things are good for you. It's not so easy to say when things are bad for you. But we're each dealt a hand, and God only knows. And God will one day explain it to us why some people have it easy, relatively speaking, and some people don't. But as I said, every year that goes by shows me that this physical body is not what counts to God, because I've lost something. And when I do things maybe a decade apart, like I tried to put a retaining wall in a few years ago, and somehow I thought I was still 30. And it reminded me very quickly, I'm not 30 anymore. And I'll never do that again. I'll never do that again like I did. And I think sometimes that's God's way of weaning us away from this life. It's God's way of getting us ready for the next step. Because we aren't what we were. And we see that we can't put our trust in the physical, which is what these people were doing. They were wanting something physical from God. They were not looking for something spiritual from God. And even when Christ said that he was the bread that came down from heaven. They said, well, give us this bread forevermore. Give it to us, Lord. But like I said, he doesn't mince words, and they didn't understand what he said. And when verse 53, it says, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye shall have no life in you. Well, that was a hard thing for them to accept. And it says in verse 60, many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? They had no idea what he was talking about. And they left him. They did not follow Jesus anymore because they were never actually following Jesus. What they were following was the miracles that he was doing. Amen. What they were following was the healings. What they were following was a free lunch. But they were not following Jesus. When I was a youngster, one of my heroes was Tarzan, especially Johnny Weissmuller or Lex Barker on the old Tarzan Theater. And the thing that attracted me to this character was that he was good. You could count on Tarzan that he would always do the right thing and he could always be trusted upon, and that appealed to me. Tarzan couldn't give me anything. I mean, even if I was there in the jungle, which wouldn't have been a bad idea, but no, he couldn't give me anything except maybe an occasional monkey every now and then for a pal to pal around with. But it wasn't what he could give me, it's what he was that was attractive to me. Tarzan was dependable. Tarzan was trustworthy. Tarzan was good. And that's how we have to feel about Christ. We have to look to Christ because he is good, because he is dependable, because he's holy. Not because of the physical things that he can give us. Because if we're only looking at the physical things that he can give us, we have never seen Christ. We have never seen Christ. And if we haven't seen Christ, he will say to us one day, depart from me, ye evildoers, for I never knew you. I don't care how often you're here, how much money you give, or how much time that you donate to charities. If you never have seen Christ, you're not going home. Amen. You just won't go home. I think it's very important for us to realize that if we have never seen Christ, there is no difference between us and these people who were chasing after Jesus for the bread. One day, we will also walk away. Something will happen in our life that will turn us away, or we'll come across something in Scripture that we don't agree with. But in the end, if we have never seen Christ, if we've never seen the holiness of God, if it's not that that attracts us to Christ, if we're only after fire insurance, if we're only after a healing, if we're only after a blessing in our life, one day we're going to walk away. Something will happen and we'll be just like these disciples. From it says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him because what he had to say was a hard saying and they could not take it. So I think it's very important for us when we look at our relationship with Christ to realize that it is Christ, the Holy Christ, that we're looking after. That is the one. We're attracted to Christ. We want to be with Christ because he's holy. Amen. We want to be with Christ because he's good and dependable, because he is the light, and not because of what he can give us. Because this book, above all, is a spiritual book. Sometimes people are blessed in the material world. Sometimes they aren't. And God's got the reasons, and one day he'll explain them to us. I heard J. Vernon McGee one time say that he was very happy that God had never blessed him with great wealth because he thinks it may have affected the way he acted. But we've got to have faith in Christ that he will do the right thing. And that's what has to sustain us, and not the blessings that we get from a day to day. They're just a bonus. Anything that we get from the hand of God is a bonus because the one thing he's given to us is eternal life. And that is the one thing that counts. Everything else is superficial. We mourn the loss of loved ones when they die, but if they're gone to heaven, we'll see them again. It's only temporary. When my kids live out on the West Coast, and I understand that, that every time you leave them, it doesn't get any better. It's still the separation. And I still grieve every time that I see them and leave, because they're not with me. But I know that I'll see them again. And that's what's important. We have to keep looking for the Holy Christ, the good Christ. And we have to want to be with Him because He is holy. That has to be the attraction in our lives. We want to be with Christ because we want to be like Him. We are attracted to what He is and not what He can provide. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, dear God, we pray for Your forgiveness when we look at the physical and not at the spiritual. Dear God, sometimes it's hard. It's hard not to be upset with what goes on around us. It's hard not to be upset by the conditions we find ourselves in. But dear God, we have faith in You that in the end You will make all things right. And we pray that we always see You for Your holiness and not for the handouts that You can give us. Bless us, Lord. And if anyone here needs to set things right with You, may Your Holy Spirit give them the power and the courage at this moment to set things right. We pray for those who are sick, for those who can't be with us, and for those in the valley who are lost and won't come through those doors. Be with us, Lord. Keep us safe and bring us back next week. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you.